It's Pentecost Sunday, so Pastor Matt said, how about a message on the Holy Spirit? I said, okay, we'll do that. The first thing that came to mind when I thought about this morning is something that I had happened to me in seminary. So grab a piece of paper and a pencil real quick. It's only going to take a second. Everybody can participate if you can write at all. You can use the back of the bulletin, whatever you've got, okay? Real quick. So one of my seminary classes, we come in, we sit down, and this particular class, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and the professor starts off with this exercise, and you're going to do it this morning. So everybody got your paper and pencil. Ready? Here it is. Here's how we started the class. Here's what I want you to do. Draw me a picture of the Holy Spirit. You're laughing. That was the order of the class. And I probably sat and looked puzzled just like you're looking at me. Like, really? Does it bring a kind of question to mind this morning? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning because it is Pentecost Sunday, and hopefully we can clear some things up. Let me read to you Article 6 of our statement of faith of the Evangelical Free Church, which you and I believe in because we're members of an Evangelical Free Church. Here's what we believe about the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit, in all that He does, glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He convicts the world of its guilt. He regenerates sinners. And in Him, they are baptized into union with Christ and adopted as heirs in the family of God. He also indwells, guides, equips, and empowers believers for Christ-like living and service. That's what we believe. Now, you might not have been able to rattle that off quickly this morning, but it's important for us to grasp the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to spend our time on this morning. First of all, though, it's important to know the Holy Spirit is not a thing. Now, even though we couldn't draw a picture real easily, doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is a thing. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit is as personal as Jesus is. Jesus refers to the person of the Holy Spirit in our text, which we'll look at this morning. Sometimes I think we're afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, if we talk too much about the Holy Spirit, somebody might think we're, you know, too charismatic or something. And sometimes we don't talk about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit because it's confusing, kind of like trying to draw that picture. And so we just avoid the subject, right? Because we're not exactly sure how we should talk and speak about the Holy Spirit. So we avoid it. Well, this morning I want us to focus on the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our time together. In doing so, I think you're going to be encouraged in your faith. I think you're going to realize the great gift that the Holy Spirit is to you and I as we study this morning. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. Now as you're turning there, let me give you just a little bit of the background of this passage. Chapters 13 through 17 are called the farewell discourses. Jesus calls His disciples together. They celebrate the Lord's Supper. He washes their feet, and He begins to inform them about what's going to take place in the days ahead. And part of that is that He's leaving. Can you imagine that? Gathered together, sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping with Him, celebrating Passover, and Him saying, by the way, I'm going to be leaving you. That's what's taken place. And as they're gathered here, and when we get to John chapter 14, Judas has already started the betrayment of Jesus and left the room. The disciples are left with Jesus. And so He's kind of dropped this news on them that He'll be leaving. But He's sending someone else to be with them. That's where we're going to pick up the story. John chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 16. Here's what Jesus says. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, Because I live, you live also. In that day, you'll know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my word will, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not love or does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This great set of verses was Jesus speaking to his disciples, assuring them. Now, in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In verse 27, we end up with Jesus saying again, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Jesus is leaving and he's saying, wait, don't be afraid because I'm leaving and won't be with you because I'm sending another. He comforts and encourages them by the promises of his return, the resurrection, plus the sending of the Holy Spirit. He assures them that the Holy Spirit will be with them 24/7. He would never leave them, would never forsake them, will provide someone to walk with them the rest of their life, to have an abiding presence with them. I think you and I need that same assurance, don't we, in our walk with Jesus. It's easy to feel alone. It's easy to feel like, how am I going to do this, Jesus? You know, you call me to walk like you did. How am I going to do this? Well, sometimes we fail to be reminded of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That same comfort that they needed, we need today as well. Now, the Holy Spirit is a great gift to us. It's a gift to help us live out this Christian life that we've been called to live. Well, it's important for us to understand a couple of things before we look at four things this morning in this passage. First, I want us to understand the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a thing, it's not an it. Even though you can't draw a picture, it's important to know the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal being, but a relational third person of the Trinity that speaks to us in our life. He relates to you, speaks to you. Well, sometimes we don't realize it, because we're not quiet enough to hear him. Second, the Holy Spirit is not less than, but equal in the Godhead, the Trinity. It's true that each person of the Trinity has a unique function to some degree, but each person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, is 100% God and divine. Third, the Holy Spirit is revealed in Scripture throughout the Old and New Testaments. From Genesis through Revelation, we see the work of the Holy Spirit from creation to redemption to salvation to restoration. The Holy Spirit is real. We need to recognize that this morning. The other thing before we study our text that stands out to me is just the teaching on the Trinity in these passages. Now, you'll find some people will say, well, the word Trinity is never mentioned in Scripture. And I'll say, let's go to this portion of Scripture and notice the Father and the Son and the Spirit over and over and over again related to us and taught to us. We get a clear picture in these verses of the triune God that you and I believe in. Sometimes I think we fail to recognize the Trinity in our Scriptures, but these verses are packed full of references to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we need not be afraid as we study them. You see, for our Christian faith to be accurate and real, we must believe in the Trinity. We must believe in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That sets us apart from most of the other world and world religions. You realize that. We're unique because Scripture teaches that to us. Let's think about the Trinity for a moment. True Christianity, rooted in the belief in the confirmation of the Trinity. First, the loving Father. God, the loving Father who is the initiator and designer of our salvation. The Father who saw our sin through His love and acted to reconcile us to Himself so that we could have an eternal relationship with God forever. God is the initiator. He provided a way of righteousness to take our sins, and our accountability would be to Him. Second person of the Trinity is God the Son, who is the agent of our salvation. Jesus the Son, who carries out the plan of salvation by dying in our place, taking our sins, receiving the wrath of God, the punishment for my sins and your sins in our place, so that we could be forgiven and declared innocent and righteous before God. God the Son being the one-time sacrifice for all sin, taking the punishment, conquering death, rising again, now seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the second person. And then finally, the third person of the Trinity that we will study this morning is God the Holy Spirit, who's the protector of our faith. The Holy Spirit who intercedes for us and seals us in our faith, as Ephesians says. The Holy Spirit who lives within us to empower us to live the Christian faith. So this morning, in the verses we just read together, I want us to notice four things about the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit. First, in verses 17 and 23, we learn this. The Holy Spirit dwells in believers' lives. The Holy Spirit dwells in our lives. Look at what those verses say. Jesus and the Father send the Holy Spirit to be with all believers. Now, once again, keeping in context here this morning, Jesus speaking to His followers, His intimate friends, I'm leaving. I'm going away. You'll no longer walk with me. But don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't be concerned, because I'm sending someone else. Not a different person. The same person. To walk this comforter alongside you. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in believers' lives. Actually, in some sense, the Father and Son dwell within us because of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit living inside you and I, to be with us forever, to make His home. What an amazing thought. The living God living inside of me, inside of you. Now, a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity, I guess it was an opportunity to move my son again and his family. You know, pack up the boxes and carry the couches and do the basement steps. And anyway, they're renting a house. They're moving into their first house that they've purchased. And you know what? When you move the couches away from the walls and you move all the furniture away from the corners, there's dust and dirt and stuff there. And I don't think my daughter-in-law was probably real happy that I saw that. You know, if we do that in our own house, I'm sure there are dust balls and all kinds of things under the bed. But think about the Holy Spirit living in your life and mine. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to think of God living in our life, but it's kind of scary too, amen? He sees all this stuff in the corners of my heart. But I need not be afraid, because the Holy Spirit lives to help me clean those out, to take care of that stuff, and to begin to live a life like Jesus wants me to live. Well, this promise of the Holy Spirit is not a new thing, because it was given to us in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Listen to what the Old Testament says about God sending the Holy Spirit. He says this, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my rules. This promise of the Holy Spirit all the way given to us from the Old Testament now seen lived out in the New Testament. We need not be afraid of the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This presence that given to us, this indwelling is a forever indwelling. That's what verse 16 says. I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper that He may be with you. What's the word? Forever. Now Jesus would die upon the cross, would be raised from the grave, but would ascend eventually to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said, I'm going to send another to be with you 24/7. You don't need to worry about Him ever leaving you. The Father and I will send Him for you. The other thing that's interesting in these verses we read this morning is the Holy Spirit's given only to believers. Verse 17 says that He will abide with you and will be in you. Verse 18 says, I won't leave you as orphans without a father, without a presence. The world does not love Jesus nor seek Jesus. Why would the Holy Spirit be given to them? Second thing we learn in these verses this morning is the Holy Spirit not only dwells within us, but illuminates us. The Holy Spirit illuminates believers. In other words, when you go into a room and the light's not on, it's dark and you can't see your way, you turn on the light and what are you able to do? You see things. So in the same way, the Holy Spirit works in our life to illuminate us to the things of God, to understand. It's a process by which God enables us to understand His Word and apply it to our lives. The Holy Spirit illuminated the hearts of people in the Old and New Testament to write the very Word of God, and that same Holy Spirit now works in our lives to help us hear and read and study Scripture in a way that we can understand it. So the Holy Spirit illuminates us. The Holy Spirit living in us is this restorative ministry, if you will. It's kind of like remodeling a room in your house, you know, putting it back into the order it needs to be in so it looks proper. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things, leads us into understanding God's Word, plus helps us move truth from information to transformation in our life, because it illuminates the Word so we can understand it. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus taught. So the work is to point back to the work of Jesus. When He said, I'll send another helper, it wasn't a different helper. It was of the same kind that Jesus was. So He will remind us of the things Jesus did and taught. Holy Spirit leads us in Jesus' mission in this illumination process. Helps us be reminded of how Jesus lived, what His priorities were, and what His passions were in life. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us God's gospel. God's gospel. His love for us, our sin, our need for redemption, Jesus' atonement, our justification in Him, it helps us understand the fullness of the gospel. He says in verse 19, because I live, you will live also. I need to be reminded of that. I need to have the light come on so I grasp this. The Holy Spirit illuminates us. Third, the Holy Spirit guides believers. The Holy Spirit guides believers. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, the Defender, if you will. Actually, that term is a term that has legal understandings in a courtroom where somebody's going to come alongside you when you're in trouble. But in this context as well, it's not only the Holy Spirit that stands with us to defend us because of our sin, it's also the Holy Spirit that walks with us through life to help us walk the same way Jesus walked. He guides us in life. This counselor, person who is now sent to walk alongside us and guide us. See, the Holy Spirit helps us in making the right decisions we need to make in life. The Spirit helps us morally and ethically by His presence in our life, reminding us once again of everything Jesus taught. See, the Holy Spirit helps us being guided to love like Jesus loves, to live like Jesus lives, to serve like Jesus served. And the Holy Spirit sometimes is, as He guides us, one of those little annoying things, the pokes and prods. And when Jeff gets off track, says, "Get back on track, Jeff. You shouldn't be doing that. You're not loving like Jesus. You're not living the same way Jesus did with His passions and priorities. You need to step it up, Jeff." Not to convict me as much to encourage me, to protect me, to comfort me, to walk with me. Part of being guided by the Holy Spirit brings this great gift found in verse 27. "Peace I leave you, my peace." The Holy Spirit presence brings peace to our lives. This peace of God, peace from not being bound by the pursuits of this world, but peace that comes from knowing I've been restored to God, and peace knowing I don't have to live as a slave to the things of this world. The peace of Jesus. Peace, not as the world offers. "I will not leave you as orphans." When my daughter was 10 years old, we discovered she had cancer. And I can only tell you that we needed the presence of Jesus for the months we walked through radiation and chemotherapy. I didn't physically see Jesus, but I spiritually felt Jesus' presence as we prayed, as we went through tough times. Oh, the comforter, the presence of God in our lives was real. The Holy Spirit is real. The Son requests the Father, "Send the Spirit to take the Son's place as the believer's encourager and strengthener in life." Isn't that good news? And then finally, fourth this morning, is the Spirit equips and empowers believers in life. And in verses 16 to 17, verses 26 and 27, we see that displayed for us in God's Word this morning. The Holy Spirit works in our lives to equip us with everything we need to love and serve Christ. Everything we need to love and serve Christ. This Spirit of truth, this Spirit of Jesus that said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life," now lives in us to help us live out that Christian life. It equips us with all we need to live out our life in truth. It empowers us to say no to the things that are against the teachings of Christ and yes to the things that are of Christ. That's what the Word says. It guides us in all truth this morning. The Holy Spirit empowers us to fight the battle against sin by revealing the truth to us and convicting us of those things that we should be saying no to. The Holy Spirit then empowers us to live in victory over those sinful natures that drive us. We're no longer slaves to what? Our sinful nature. Because the Holy Spirit living in us, empowers us say yes to the things of Christ. The Holy Spirit equips us with gifts to serve in the body of Christ. You, each one of you, given a gift, either playing music or praying or leading or teaching, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit equips us, the counselor, the helper, the living in us to live and love like Jesus, to carry out His mission. You remember Matthew 28. The Great Commission. "Go in all the world and make church attenders," right? No. "Go into all the world and make disciples." And at the very end, the last comment, and I will be with you how much? Always. Enables us to carry out the mission of Jesus. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit, good news for you and I this morning. Amen? We've been given a great gift. Given the Holy Spirit. We're not left as orphans. We're equipped, empowered by God with everything we need to live the Christian life. This morning, let's don't be afraid to speak about the Holy Spirit. Let's don't be afraid to pray to the Holy Spirit. Let's be encouraged by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Jesus, as we read your words this morning, that you said, I will no longer leave you as an orphan, but I will send another to be with you forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live within us and that we can pray to you and we can hear you and we can relate to you and that you empower us and you strengthen us and you guide us and you illuminate God's word and mission to us. Oh, thank you this morning for the gift of the Holy Spirit. May we be encouraged this morning in our faith by these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.